from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be, across all 24 time zones worldwide. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. By the way, anybody catch the fifth inning of the World Series where they played my theme? That was kind of cool, I thought. Welcome. Good to have you all. The war, the war, the war. First of all, I sat tonight watching Tommy Thompson and some appointed doctor on Larry King tonight. And, boy, I don't know, folks. I know... Tommy Thompson is a kind of king. You may have seen him on 60 Minutes of Everything is Safe, Everything is Okay, which, you know, I guess is a message that somebody in his position probably has to deliver. But even Larry King at one point said, Tommy, don't you think there's some danger in continually telling everybody that everything's all right? Yes. He said yes. So I don't know whether any of you happen to see it and interpret the same way I did, but it's kind of like, yeah, right, everything's fine. Just fine. An American bomb, a really, really big American bomb, blasted huge plumes of smoke 1,000 feet into the skies over Afghanistan's front lines on Tuesday in what's being called an unusually mighty airstrike. Mighty big. And you have to wonder if they might have used a fuel air bomb, the first fuel air bomb. They actually produce something that really is more akin to a mushroom cloud, so I don't know. But whatever they dropped, it was really, really big. U.S. authorities suspect that Osama bin Laden's inner circle may have issued, get this folks, issued new orders for attacks against Americans and are concerned that the terrorists might strike even if they are cut off from their command. Now, of course, in Afghanistan, now, of course, I'm sure there would be a doomsday order, you know, if you cannot talk to us, if you cannot speak to us, do the following. So I don't think everything's okay. Everything doesn't feel okay. It feels like something is going to happen soon. Even the government, without giving specifics, which, by the way, they say they don't have, is saying something is going to happen soon. The Pentagon today confirming the presence of our guys on the ground in Afghanistan. Not a lot of them, but they are there. The news story that broke about an hour before I got on the air yesterday is a big one today. A hospital worker gravely ill with inhalation anthrax today, as the growing list of victims prompted investigators to worry that the bacteria might be spreading at postal facilities from one piece of mail to another. This woman, as I told you last night, became the first outside the news media or postal service to be infected with this horrible form of... I wonder if she'll make it. I think it's nip and tuck about whether she'll make it. Once the inhalation anthrax has gone pretty far, you don't make it. Still, we have to keep all of this in perspective. What's going on right now, even though it's horrible that it's killed people, 16 infected, I think 3 dead, maybe more to come, 3 more suspected ongoing right now. Even though all of that is true, it's honest, not much in the bigger scheme of things. You know, with 20,000 killing the flu, it's not much. So what we've got going on here so far is a distraction, it would seem. It is engendering terror, to be sure, but if you keep it in perspective, it's not too terrifying. What we have to worry about would be some sort of other biological attack, in my opinion, smallpox, something like that. And I think it's reasonable to say to all of you that there could develop a situation, and you need to keep your eyes on it, for you to become isolated, for you and your family to become isolated, and you should prepare for some period of isolation if you can handle it, you know. Just do the basic stuff. Don't go crazy. Have some food around. obviously water, things that if you had to spend at least a few days or, heaven forbid, a week or a month in isolation, you could do so. So think about that. You know, I think it's proper that we all think about that. Now, on the Drudge site this hour is a story from New Scientist entitled "Anthrax Preparation Indicates Homegrown Origin." Let me read a little bit of this to you. As anthrax continues to turn up in U.S. postal facilities and postal workers, evidence is now emerging that it is an American product. Not only are the bacteria genetically close to the strain the U.S. has used in its own anthrax weapons in the 1960s, but New Scientist can reveal that these spores also seem to have been prepared according to, get this folks, the secret U.S. weaponization recipe. The secret U.S. weaponization recipe. This is troubling, say bioterrorism specialists. While the terrorist behind the anthrax-laced mail, U.S. Might not have got hold of the strain of anthrax in several laboratories around the world, the method the U.S. developed for turning a wet bacterial culture into a dangerous dry powder is a closely guarded secret. Its apparent use in the current state or spate of attacks could mean that the secret is out. An alternative is that someone is using anthrax produced by the old U.S. biological weapons program that ended in 1969, in which case the scope for further attacks could be limited. Experiments to determine which is true are now underway in this country. So this could be our own stuff, could easily be our own stuff. And you've got to wonder if the terrorists are sitting back saying, nice addition, we didn't do it, but nice addition. Or maybe they did do it, and it's just sort of a cover for whatever else is about to happen. And it really does feel like something is about to happen. The government warnings aside, and their warning now of the short term, sometime they say in the next week, you can just feel it, can't you? I can. Now, the fact that the anthrax is homegrown, by the way, doesn't indicate that it's being sent by Americans. You've got to bear that in mind. Although, it does mean that apparently it came from our stock, which is something to think about. You know, we constantly talk about how loose the Russians are. You know, with nukes hither and yon in little huts without locks, very lax security. The biological, the terrible biological weapons they have there. But if this came from here, from America, if this is homegrown, then who's got the lax security? Wouldn't be too hard for something from Russia to make its way to Bin Laden, right? Look at a map. And then, I suppose, here. But we're supposed to be the ones with the big-time security. And here they're saying it's our anthrax. I want to think about that a little bit. No offense to Tommy Thompson, because I think he's a great guy, but I'm sorry, I don't believe it. He flat out just said America's safe. Baloney. America is not safe. God, they just crashed two airplanes into the World Trade Center buildings, brought them down, crashed into the Pentagon. We've got a small outbreak of anthrax right now, and the possibility of something awful biologically coming at us. We've got warnings saying this week something is going to happen. I would not say America is safe, and I have a hard time listening to Tommy Thompson. From his 60 Minutes appearance to his appearance tonight on Larry King. I don't know. It's like I really think Americans can handle the truth. And the truth is, of course, there's some danger. Good God, look around you. We're at war. Of course, there is danger. Anyway, to the phone lines. First time caller line, you are on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Chris from Minnesota. How are you?
Oh, okay, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. You were talking the other day about thinking out of the box, and I have a great idea.
Okay.
Let's put Harlot on Al Jazeera television and threaten to send her into the Afghanistan if the Taliban doesn't turn Bin Laden over.
You think she would she'd be that threatening for them?
Well, I think she'd be pretty close. And instead of dropping pig's blood, like people have been talking, I think we should drop Nair so their beards will fall out. That'd really embarrass them.
You know, that's not bad. I don't know about dropping Nair. I'm not so sure it's effective in that manner. You've got to kind of spread it on. But they could probably come up with something that wouldn't hurt you otherwise, but all of your hair would drop off. Now, that's a pretty damn good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you very much. I don't know about Nair. I don't think the mere dropping of Nair would quite do the job. But certainly they could drop something that would be vectored to only the males in Afghanistan and would cause their hair to fall out. Maybe they'd figure that was some kind of message from Allah. And something that massive, that interesting could be done. That's way out of the box, but not bad, actually. Scheme of things, with genetics the way they are right now, you let go a little genetic bomb vectored to the males, and their hair falls out. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Raymond. I'm calling from Michigan.
Raymond, hi.
Hi. Earlier you mentioned that large bomb that we dropped that caused such a large explosion.
Yes.
Do they know if it was the bomb itself or what was actually hit that caused the explosion?
Well, that, of course, is a good question. But usually they talk about secondary explosions. In this case, they didn't.
Right, because I thought maybe a storage facility or something with fuel in it, maybe.
Possible. Certainly possible. But usually it's written as a secondary explosion. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, but that we're going to drop a fuel air bomb. We've used them before. They're a form of terror as well as an effective military tool.
Yeah, well, I guess, it depends on how you look at it. And in your opinion, let's take this war for example. Why does it seem like we sort of, for the most part, fight by the rules and our enemy does not?
Well,
why do we stay fighting?
I think that publicly we do. We try and avoid civilian casualties, and I think at every level, actually, we do that. But I don't think on the ground in Afghanistan, the special forces that are going in, or actually are in, I don't think they're playing by the rules at all.
Yeah, you think they're trained not to play by the rules?
I think they're trained to kill.
Well, yeah, I mean, war in general is...
No, not in general. Very specifically trained to kill. And do I think we're assassinating there? Yup, I do. So I don't think we're necessarily playing as cleanly as you might imagine when you read papers, watch TV, and listen to radio. Okay?
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very well. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I think we're playing the game every bit as dirty as they are, and I hope a little smarter. You know, we're no wimps, and trust me when I tell you that our intelligence agencies, our spook agencies, and our spook people are as capable and hopefully a lot smarter at this sort of thing. So, you know, you're not hearing about it, and you will not hear about it in the American press, but trust me, they know how to play the game. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Max from Grove, Arizona.
Hello, Max.
I'm listening on KKOB on my speakerphone.
Yes, sir.
Man, I was trying to get home last night from the ranch to give you a call, and I'm a poor man, and a cow jumped in front of me, and I just totaled my truck.
You hit a cow?
I hit a cow. It was just awful, Art. It was just awful.
That's like hitting another car or almost a cement post.
Yeah, it could have been worse. It could have come through the window. And I always say a prayer before I leave there because there's so many animals on the road. Lord, please don't let me hit any animals, rabbits, cows, or whatever.
Well, between a rabbit and a cow, I'll take a rabbit.
Yeah, I forgot to say it last night. It was really traumatic.
You actually forgot to say the prayer?
Yeah.
Well, there you are.
I don't know, you know. God's going to have what God's going to have.
That's true, and I take it God now has that cow?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. I would imagine so, but hitting a cow, you know, hundreds of pounds, and it's like hitting a cement post. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Bill.
Good evening, Mr. Caller.
This is Brother Bob, southbound on 99.
Yes, Bob.
And last night you guys were talking about the shadow people.
Yes.
And stuff like that. One time, a long time ago, I had the whole room had turned into a shadow. Completely black, just my bedroom.
Really?
And yes, sir. And
did you check to see if the bulb burned out?
What had happened is that I had six windows in this house that I was renting, and always could see lights from the city street. You know, I never even needed a nightlight. And what I wanted to tell you is that right as between you're going to sleep and still awake,
yes.
You know, you're thinking about mowing the lawn tomorrow or whatever, you know.
Maybe that's what you think about.
Well, you know, anyway.
Yes, anyway.
The thought came into my mind, and I thought it was me thinking this thought. I mean, it sounded like, you know, how you talk to yourself in your mind.
Yes.
And it said, it goes, Bob, why don't you get up out of bed and get on your boots and your pants and your cowboy hat and go across the street to a bar and pick up some young thing and bring her back, do the wild thing and take her back.
Well, see, that's more like it than mowing the grass. Although there is some sort of parallel that I would not endeavor to follow there, I think. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm all right. It's going to be a full moon very shortly, and I'm doing a ghost-to-ghost tomorrow night, so...
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you might remember me from last year when I told you the story about clarity.
Oh, of course I remember the clarity story, yes.
Yes, sir. One thing I'd like to ask you, sir, is the situation last night. I come home about 5:30 and I turn on my television, and I am given what everybody else in this nation was given, was a clear and present danger is upon us, but yet we can't be clear about said danger.
Yeah.
To me, that in a sense right there, it'd be almost like coming up to a person and saying, I think somebody's going to kill you, and
right.
I know that, but yet.
All right, here's the deal. The government claims that they're telling us all they know. They say, we know it's not much, and we're issuing this general warning that we think it's something soon, within the week, but we don't know what. We don't have any specifics. Question for you. Do you believe them?
Sir, I couldn't believe them any more than I could actually believe the audacity for them to actually come out and say something like that to us without even giving us a simple piece of information. So trust me, I'm one of those people where I believe back in the early 90s when I first heard you on the radio talk about the quickening, it is upon us, sir, and it's even getting quicker.
Sure. You bet it is. I appreciate the call. Thank you. And that's what I guess I would ask all of you. And do you really, Tommy Thompson is saying, that's a headline during Larry King they wrote, Thompson says America is safe. Do you believe America is safe? Would you go all the way to safe? I think Thompson is really, really, really overdoing it on the conservative nothing can happen side. He's not really saying nothing can happen, you know, but he's saying all is okay. We, the government, can take care of everything, and we have stocks of this and that, and we're ordering this and that. And I just, I don't know. I don't think that everything is okay at all. So, you make your own determination. We all have to do that. Is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning.
What the people need is a way to make them smile. It ain't so out
like that commercial. Crucial.com.
You need more memory, my friend. You need more memory.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that for your brain?
Get more memory, my friend. Use 12%. 2% better than your neighbor.
Unfortunately, someday, and probably not very far down the line, that's going to precisely be possible. Then, of course, there will be additional brains for the rich, while the poor remain poor, as well as with their current IQs. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. That's me. I'm Diane. I'm calling you from Toronto.
Yes, Diane.
Hi. I discovered you a couple of weeks ago, and you've hijacked my sleep. But what a way to go, I have to say.
Thank you.
I'm a man of my own thinking. I've got a few points to raise, and I'll hang up because you've got lots of interesting callers to follow, plus Caroline Keating. I've been following this anthrax thing, as most other people have been, and I just wanted to run through a few things that are really getting up my nose. Fortunately, not spores as yet.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with, did you see the wonderful healing, before we started dropping bombs anywhere, the healing prayer session at Yankee Stadium that Giuliani organized, when he had people of all faiths give a little bit of a piece from their belief, and it was all about peace and love. He had members of Islam, he had Jewish people, he had Catholics, he had the whole
deal. Maybe they're beginning to catch on.
Yeah, and I don't remember all of them. There were several rabbis, several Catholics, so it was one of the rabbis, possibly one of the fire department, but I'm not sure. He was a big guy. But he made a wonderful, wonderful speech, and it wasn't too long. None of them were. But his main point that I'm paraphrasing, I cannot get out of my mind, and it is 7,000 people did not die on September the 11th. One person died 7,000 times. And what I find offensive by Tommy Thompson, and is it Copeland, the CDC guy, that they seem to be minimizing the fact that, well, it's only a few deaths, so, you know, we don't really have much to worry about.
Well, I mean, technically, they are right about
but
that. I mean, 20,000 die. Well, so that America, it is,
yes.
On the one hand, we've got to understand the danger, but on the other, we've got to keep it in perspective. And if 20,000 people die of the flu every year.
Well, yes, but I lived in London, England for 20 years during the IRA terrorism campaign, so I, personally, my personal belief is these letters came from Al-Qaeda. For sure. And I believe that we're not given, of course, we're not being given all the information, but one letter to Tom Daschle is not going to be able to contaminate New Jersey, New York.
I know.
You know,
does it surprise you?
Does it surprise you
that it's our anthrax?
I don't believe it.
You don't?
I believe it's possible. I don't have any proof otherwise, but.
All right, well, listen, just, again, to about a paragraph of this, all right? You want to see it, it's on drudgereport.com, my friend Matt Drudge. Drudgereport.com. And it comes from The New Scientist. As anthrax continues to turn up in U.S. postal facilities and postal workers, evidence is emerging that it is an American product. Not only are the bacteria genetically close to the strain the U.S. used in its own anthrax weapons in the 1960s, but New Scientist can reveal that the spores also seem to have been prepared according to the secret U.S. weaponization recipe. So, if you want to read the whole story, you know, it's on the Drudge Report, but that seems pretty damning evidence. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Western Canada.
Yes, sir.
Just the break prior to your show, there was some information about the warning that was issued.
Yes.
You heard about that?
Oh, yes.
Well, you heard the warning, but have you heard the source?
No, I don't think so.
The news that the reason that the warning was issued, it came actually from intelligence in Canada.
Well, you guys are all right.
I have 2 points. Very important points.
In other words, you're just making a claim to the source of the information up there, right?
No. Well, our listeners are wondering where this information came from, what's being told, what happened, why is this warning, where is it coming from?
Do you know any more?
Yes, I do. This and one other point I want to bring up.
Well, tell me more. No. You know more about this, the warning, if you do.
The warning, it came in a news break here just prior to your show on our local radio station that the Canadian Intelligence Agency was monitoring telephone communications overseas and particularly to Afghanistan where...
Canadian Intelligence Agency, that'd be CIA, right?
Well, I think it's called CISA, but I'm not sure of the name, but it's our intelligence agency that is equivalent to your folks listening in on people.
Okay, well, a big thank you.
Well, just so you know, it came in conversation, and this, the point I'm getting up to here is that it was overheard by one of the people talking to somebody in Afghanistan that the action will occur next week, and this was prompted the warning last week. So the information is coming out, and at least... You should know about this by tomorrow.
All right, so in other words, next week, meaning last week issued, so this week sometime.
Yeah, that something, quote, big down south is going to happen next week. That was what was overheard, and that, I believe, is what the information...
Down south, meaning...
Well, we're in Canada, you're down south.
Okay.
Okay, right. Now, the question I have here that's important, Art, and I wanted to bring it to your attention, and the first warning came out about the 19th and 20th of October, the first, quote, FBI warning that something's imminent, that Bin Laden has said something.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. cold, the embassy bombings, they've all been preceded by a three-week warning, and this is where I'm concerned. The third week from that warning happens to be the Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, the 10th and 11th of November. And my concern is that is probably what he is projecting to say to people and warn people of that weekend, and we're all leading up to that. And I want to, what your opinion would be on that, that 3 weeks out is when something's going to happen, not necessarily this week or next week, but I think that's targeted the 10th and 11th of November.
All right. Actually, you know, they said, I heard earlier on a newscast, and CNN, that there had been an attack that was foiled on October 11th. Who knows if that's true? And we get these warnings, and I guess they're based in something or another. But who really knows? One thing's for sure, these are very dangerous times. And you know what I said earlier, I'm going to say again. A lot of you should begin to give some thought, in my opinion, to the possibility of isolating yourselves for a period of time, if you had to isolate yourself. If you heard there was a breakout of something, God knows what, smallpox maybe, they talk about that all the time. Whatever it would be, could you sustain yourself for some period of time? I think that's what my listeners should have to begin to ask themselves and take prudent steps to be able to do that. Because it seems to me not everybody can carry a gas mask around all the time, and if there is some sort of biological problem, your only answer, and, you know, I've had enough survivalists on here to know they all say it, is you would have to isolate yourself. Are you prepared to do that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's Kathy in Oklahoma.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Three quick points. The first one is, when this whole anthrax thing started, my gut feeling was it was an American nerdly type chemist that is or is not working at this time, but was doing this, just, you know, a loner type guy just doing it.
Yeah, but you know what? That would mean that it would be one letter or maybe two.
That's true, unless he sent a bunch.
Yeah, but God, this is turning up like all over the place.
Yeah,
you know?
And my gut feeling could totally be wrong. The second thing is, this is brief, and then I want to give you my out of the box. The brief one is the last night when the old lady called and said something about, when you get your mail, you have to wash your hands. Then you open it, and you got to wash your hands again. And
yeah,
you misunderstood her, and I think she was crying at the end when she said, "Well, I guess I'm just ludicrous." Then, what she meant was referring to is that the guy on the postal master had said that we should take precautions and wash our hands when we open our mail. And I had thought the same thing she did, because, you know, I bring the mail in, and then I open it and I read it and blah blah blah. So you're touching it more than once, and that was her point.
But my point was, if you had something suspicious in your mail...
Oh, no, it wasn't anything suspicious. They're mail in general.
Well, no.
Because of contact.
No, that's crazy.
Machines. The machines that sort it.
Yeah, but listen to all the warnings, dear, from the government. They only talk about if there's some kind of powder in a letter.
Well, they were talking about contamination from the machines that sort the mail. That was...
Yeah.
They were telling I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
But they gave a warning that, just in general, because they don't know how far this has gone, because of the machines that could get on your regular mail, but that's all she was talking about.
Okay, well, then again, I'm sorry, I wouldn't change my response. There would be some obvious reason for you to be suspicious of something you had received. That's what all the warnings are about. You would see something. You would see some powder or something. What do they say? If you receive something like that, obviously wash your hands, clean up, call the U.S. Postal Service, and call the police. Call 911. But for God's sakes, don't go back and touch it. And that's the only thing I was saying to that lady. Don't go back and touch it. After you've washed your hands, if you have reason to be suspicious, don't go back under any circumstances and touch it. It's just common sense. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, I had a out-of-the-box idea for you.
Oh?
On think how we can track down the leaders of the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
What I think we should do is use a Trojan horse of sorts, like fake a crash, a plane crash, like over Kabul, and have something like that would be very valuable to them, like, say, an inactive nuke or something that would be brought to these leaders after they would find it, you know? And I think we should throw, like, tracking devices and stuff in it, you know?
An inactive nuke?
Like, so that if you were to look at it, if they were to look at it, it would look like it was a nuclear
a nuke
weapon.
Like, like a nuclear weapon had fallen into their hands?
Yeah, like, you know, maybe we fake a crash, you know, that looks like the plane went down. You know, they come to salvage what they can, and they find something.
Can I modify your idea a little bit? Suppose instead of sending a nuclear weapon, that they would, oh my God, look, a nuke, wow, it fell from the sky, it's ours. What we instead do is make up a dummy nuclear weapon that looks like it comes from Russia.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a dummy weapon at all, it's a real one. Except the only people that can set it off would be us, by remote control. And so, of course, as soon as the Taliban gets their hot little fingers on it, they're going to give it to who?
They're going to give it to the people that can use it.
To Bin Laden, right?
Yeah.
And then so you wait the appropriate amount of time and push the damn button.
Hey, that works too, man. But I figured if it was something of really high importance that they would think, you know, could be very useful to them, that they would obviously take it and it would be taken to the leaders, to Bin Laden or whoever.
Absolutely. Another good idea, sir.
All right,
I like it. Thank you very much. A very, very, very good idea. Yes, sure. Although I think they would be suspicious of an American nuke, they would probably figure a Russian nuke now. One of those could somehow be lying around. And then you wait until, of course, the lieutenants would rush it to Bin Laden. Nuke. Boom. I don't know. Those kinds of ideas. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
This is Stephen calling from Northern Michigan.
Yes, Stephen.
And I guess I just want to make a comment about Tommy Thompson and quick out of the box. I wasn't able to get on last Friday night.
You've been watching Tommy Thompson, too?
I have. His appointment was one of the first Bush appointments, and I was a little bit skeptical. I don't know what his qualifications are. Being from Michigan, he's much like the Republican slug governor, John Engler.
Well, he had kind of a good rep, frankly. But boy, in the position he's in now, I'm not comforted because he's going overboard on the we're all safe, everything's okay side. That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I totally agree. Again, like I said, I don't know what his health and human services qualifications would be. But from what I've been feeling, my gut instinct is everyone else has been pretty much honest. Secretary of Defense, other people that Bush appointed.
Yeah.
But Thompson doesn't really seem to be, he just seems to be sugarcoating it.
Well, he's
or more or less his opinions, I guess, or what information he has. Yeah, I can't sit and listen to him with any credibility on his part. I don't see it, and he's just contrary to everything that we've been hearing so far in regards to anthrax or any other potential
threats. I think your observation really should be listened to by somebody in our government, because his credibility, in my opinion as well, is less, not more, because of the way he overdoes it. He just overdoes it. I mean, everybody, just about everybody knows we are facing a real threat. I mean, something really may or probably may happen.
And just from similar to John Engler, just kind of changing welfare around and mental health services and put a lot of mentally ill people, maybe not totally on the streets, but living out of transient hotels, paying by the week.
Yeah.
Maybe because certain institutions were closed down, lack of funding. But I guess my point on Tommy Thompson is I don't understand his qualifications, and he's not being honest and sugarcoating it. And because maybe his lack of qualifications, he doesn't understand the threat, such as me, you, listeners, just fellow American.
Either that or he is actually delivering the message he's being asked to deliver. Although it just seems overdone to me, overdone to the point where you go, oh, come on. You know, and if you're going, oh, come on, then you're not buying it. And if you're not buying it, then it's not good propaganda, is it? The whole idea of propaganda is to have those in receipt in belief. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Larry from San Anselmo, California.
Hi, Larry.
And I have a couple of things. Number one, when you look at the Daschle letter that they've put on the newscast,
right.
The first thing that you realize is that the printing on that letter is not someone who first learned to write in Arabic.
It's block printing.
Well, it's block printing and does not show the Arabic tendencies. I'm kind of a handwriting expert, and there's no question that that was written by someone who learned English, the English alphabet, in a in an English or American school. The second thing is...
Well, that's anecdotal at best.
Pardon me?
Anecdotal at best.
Yes. And also, apparently 65% of these people's income come from opium fields, which they show on the news. They had them outlined in red.
Yep.
And then they say they're running out of military targets.
Right.
Why don't they blow up the absolute, to the end, the opium fields? I can't understand why they would not do that.
I can't either. If that is, you know, they say we're going after their money.
Well, wouldn't that be the way?
Well, maybe the private conclusion is that it's the only thing keeping the Afghani people afloat at all. Maybe it provides jobs. It's a sick way to think about it. An income.
That is a hard one, yeah.
But it's probably true. I know that certainly workers in Colombia make a lot from the drug trade. But, I mean, all in all, you're right. Blow up the fields.
Yeah, absolutely, because it couldn't be anything among sane people but a popular idea. I mean, if they have such a drug war, it would seem that that would be, you know, one of the first things they would have done.
60%. Yeah, I mean, most of it has got to be going for weapons and the war effort and so forth now. So, yeah, I agree completely. Blow them down.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Blow them up, sure. 60% of their income comes from poppies, which turn up as heroin. Here in the U.S., and of course another big worry, and I know a lot of you have thought about it out there, is that they might begin to poison the heroin supply, which comes into this country covertly anyway, right? The only negative to that from their point of view would be they would be killing their own customers. Still in all, it's not a threat that can be discounted. Anyway, Tommy, not everything is safe. That's actually what he's been saying. I'm Art Bell. Kathleen Keating is coming right up.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's...
Reminding you, tomorrow night is a ghost to ghost, not to be missed. Ghost to ghost, tomorrow night. Your best ghost stories all night long. That's all we do. Unless something else happens. Now. One of the scariest guests I've ever had on the air is Kathleen Keating. So I guess she's a good pre-Halloween show in a way, huh? Kathleen Keating is the author of the international best-selling book, The Final Warning. She's been an investigative journalist for the past 11 years, researching various government cover-ups and how they intertwine with prophecy. Her latest book, The Gates of Hell, brings you up to date on all the latest intel and behind-the-scenes info. Kathleen is currently working on an end-time thriller, Tom Sky, which will be released after the first of the year. The Gates of Hell, that book, puts an end to speculation about the validity of conspiracy theories and where they are taking us once and for all. Rumors and innuendo are put to rest, permanently knocked out, it says here, by extraordinary evidence that will leave the perpetrators scurrying for a place to hide. Kathleen Keating's sensational book removes the masks from the major players and exposes them for what they are. After reading The Gates of Hell, you will never look at the world and its leaders quite the same way. The bubble is about to burst. Kathleen Keating, the international best-selling author of The Final Warning, delivers again with this shocking look at the underbelly of the world's most powerful players. Prepare to have your views shaken. That's what it says about the book. Kathleen Keating coming up in a moment. Well, all right, here she is from, I think, I don't know, Nebraska somewhere? Kathleen Keating. Hi there.
Hi, Art. From the great American outback, I guess.
are you in Nebraska?
Yeah.
Yeah. What part?
Well, near the South Dakota border in the Sandhills, though. Okay. That's why they call it the outback. It's the largest North American desert.
I guess, a good place to be these days, huh?
Tell me about it, especially with all these warnings that are coming up.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of where we're going to, in a way, that's kind of where we're going to head tonight, at least in part.
I'm afraid so.
These warnings. Now, the U.S. government, as you know, is saying that this week is going to be a dangerous week, that they expect that something may well occur, that Bin Laden and group may do something, that the order may have gone out. Who knows what they know, really? They don't tell us. From your point of view, what can you tell us? What do you know? What do you think?
Well, what is interesting, Art, is that my government sources and the visionaries are converging again. And that's a serious point because they did that on September 7th when I got information that we were going to be attacked. I've known for some time, you know, when we talked about it, I think it was on your show back in March, that I mentioned that America was possibly going to be attacked. It bothered me because the information was hanging out there on both sides, and to watch it come together was very frightening, and I'm sure it was for everybody when they woke up on September 11th and saw all that. And I think right now, from what the visionaries are saying and what the government sources are saying, we could see something as soon as tomorrow, the 31st. You're looking at the occultic number situation with 1031, 2001 adds up to 7.
Mm.
You've got also Halloween, which isn't good. But
let's go back before we proceed. You're claiming now that you ran the Bible code on the Taliban September 7th and knew then that 4 days later we were going to be attacked, or
I didn't
something
know the timing, Art, but I did know we were going to be attacked.
Who did you tell about? I mean, how, you make such a that's quite a claim, and did you...
We have it recorded on the website. The dates are all up on the website as to what happened with that.
And when was that put on the website?
We put it on the website September 7th.
Okay.
So we were ahead of the curve on that one.
And so you just saw something coming... What, on the 11th or near the 11th or what?
I had been told for months to expect an attack, but at the first part of September, I was getting word from all sides, from various sources who never talked to one another, that it was imminent and that the Taliban would be behind it. So I ran the Taliban code and the Bible code. And
what did you get?
Well, the first one that we put up on 9/7 was Taliban. Terror attack, the target, USA, violent, evil persecutor. And nuke actually came up, so I was really glad that that didn't happen. But on the 11th...
Boy, that's still too damn close.
Isn't that, though?
And wow.
On 4 days later, on the 11th, after that terrible day, we ran it again. And it came up, terror attack, target, USA, nuke, violent, evil persecutor, World Trade Center, plane crash, devastation, and terrorist.
All from the Bible code.
All from the Taliban Bible code run on 9/11. I also ran the Pentagon one on the same date and got Pentagon plane crash secondary target. And that just, you know, it sends chills through you when you find that stuff. That God knew about this before time.
Who's doing this work, Kathleen? Is that you?
I do it personally, and I have it verified with people. I know some people in universities that can do it by hand. I use a computer program.
Uh-huh.
But we're all coming down to the same bottom line. And it looks like we're going to have one scary week.
Well, it's already a scary week for me in a lot of ways. Now, you know, the anthrax thing is...
Yes.
There's something wrong with that story, Kathleen. I don't know what it is.
I think so, too. And I'm wondering what terrorists we're facing. You know, on the one hand, we have our government people that can make that kind of anthrax that have the sophistication, and Iraq and Russia can do it. But it's worrying me, and it certainly has, anthrax has come up in the Bible code, meaning that we are being targeted by a lot of people, probably in connection with the Taliban. But what worries me is that maybe people inside this country are working with the terrorists. Are you getting that impression?
Not necessarily. The late word is that this anthrax probably came from our own stock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They would seem to have pretty solid evidence for that now.
That doesn't surprise me at all from what I've been finding out with my sources and in the Bible code and what the visionaries are saying. And that's sad. It's disgusting if it is a domestic deal.
I certainly agree. Now, with regard to what's coming up really
mm-hmm.
soon,
mm-hmm.
If you got that much specific information
mm-hmm.
from the Bible codes, you should be able to tell us with equals.
There are so many targets that we have seen so far that have not been hit. And
what, as best you know, is coming?
As best I know,
yes.
If people do not pray tonight, and it's vital that they do, we could see a more severe attack than we saw on September 11th.
Any idea of the nature of it?
It could be nuclear. It could be. It could be something else, but it has the possibility of being a nuclear problem.
All right. This is only from a listener, but it's a fast blast that I got a little while ago, and I would have to confirm it. Keith, help me out here. I'd like to confirm it. It's from Kathy in Sonora, California, and she writes, Art, from Fox News, nuke smuggled to Colombia 3 weeks ago, now possibly through the Mexican border to make a dirty bomb to spray on us. Fox Tonight, Brit Hume and Hannity. So I really have no idea whether...
I've heard that report, though.
You have?
I have heard that Russia is missing some weapons, and now we have that suitcase that they think is being smuggled in.
So there could be a nuclear weapon here.
Well, I think we have several suitcases already here. And I think that they will be used. We are darn lucky they didn't happen, that the attack on the 11th didn't have a nuclear suitcase on board. We know for a fact from prophecy and certainly from Father Martin that New York will ultimately suffer a nuclear blast, but I'm hoping that we can put this off.
How likely is an attack in the next few days of some great magnitude? How likely is it, in your opinion?
As of yesterday, it was somewhat likely. It seemed to have changed to perhaps it could happen. Now it's back from the information that I'm getting just before we went on the air that it looks as if, unless we really go back and pray to God, it's going to happen. I don't know for sure. I mean, nobody knows but God and the people that are planning it. But it really is a serious time.
It's so serious that one of the questions you submitted is one I ought to ask you. I'd love to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the crackdown on terrorism and what's coming of it. You know, the talk of national ID cards.
Right.
And the... the passage of legislation that it could be argued infringes to some degree on our rights, more emails being read, more communication monitored, that sort of thing. On the other hand, how can we not do it?
It's a double deal, isn't it? I mean, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. We're losing our freedoms in blocks, in chunks. And
yes,
the more that these activities happen, the more that we have the need to have a clampdown, but we also
right.
are losing our freedoms as we know it. I ran a code last summer on July 4th that said that the U.S. would be, well, I don't know what the word for it was, that would be suspended, I guess is what the code said, by the U.N. Can you imagine that?
The U.N. suspending?
Would suspend the U.S. government. It would come under U.N. control, but we will come back to the United States eventually. But that's a scary notion. And when you're talking about a national ID card, which isn't the mark of the beast, but we're certainly getting close to that, we are just a hair away or another major incident away from closing state borders and having the national ID card, and maybe much worse. I mean, we're going forward. We're certainly not slowing down in this process.
You think states would close their borders?
From what I've heard and the plans that are in place, should there be a crackdown in this country or martial law, the state borders could very well be closed. Now, that course, transportation, you'd have to have special papers and everything, and it would really resemble Nazi Germany.
That's something to think about, isn't
it? It is. It's going to change the whole complexion of the country. And I'm not sure that we're ready for it. I know we have a wake-up.
I would have said that is really whacked-out stuff prior to 9/11. But, you know, another 9/11 or two or something even worse.
Right. And if they use nukes, you can bet the national ID is going to be rammed through. Not that a driver's license isn't valid, or not that non-citizens shouldn't have a different kind of driver's license. I firmly believe the driver's license is enough ID. But you can see where this is going.
Uh-huh. I suppose from a biblical perspective, Mark of the Beast is down line there somewhere, right? In that process?
Right. The national ID, I've had a lot of questions about it. It is not the mark in itself, but it is a precursor to the mark. It's kind of getting us adjusted. And I had found something in the code that was disturbing with anthrax, that the money's going to be tainted. And you can see how that's going to play into a cashless society.
That's actually, with regard to anthrax, that's my worst fear.
Yeah.
Money being tainted.
And that's, the Bible code came up with that.
It did.
It did, and my heart stopped, and it was like, oh, that'll shut us down. That will completely change our financial situation.
Well, this is really scary stuff. And you think short of mass prayer to turn it around, it's bound to happen. It's going to happen.
I think so. There was a great surge of prayer from 9/11 on for a few weeks. It's kind of dwindled. And I think that if we really got back to prayer, that we could put off, if not totally stop, what's happening and what is going to happen. I don't have a good feeling about tomorrow or the rest of the week,
right,
or even through Christmas. We're getting into a very heightened demonic time, starting tomorrow through December 25th, up to December 25th.
It is interesting, and I bet you found it so, that following 9/11, President Bush used the word evil so many times.
And the evil one, which a lot of people use for the Antichrist. Isn't that interesting? Although
yes,
bin Laden is not the Antichrist.
No, but
he's a partner to him, I guess.
To hear the president use that word.
What did that do to you?
I thought, evil, wow, he's saying evil.
Yeah.
You know, I just was kind of amazed.
Our vocabulary has changed since 9/11.
Well,
it has.
Just the very nature of the act, the indiscriminate killing of civilians just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly any other word fits. I was just surprised to hear the president use it. That's all. I thought it was.
It was surprising, you know. But then it's been a surprising few months.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the end times a little bit.
Okay.
There are many who would say that what we see happening right now could easily, in some machination, as the war continues, turn into end of the world, end times, Armageddon.
We took a giant leap in September.
if there's an Armageddon clock, you know, like the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists have this clock, and as times get dangerous, they run it up toward midnight.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an Armageddon clock, from the religious point of view, it would seem to be pretty close to midnight, wouldn't it?
That depends on us. Yes, if we don't pray. And no, if we do pray, I think we have a few more years. I think we could have as many as perhaps 5 to 7 good years before it gets really super ugly. And that's putting it off. But we can do it. It happened, I think, in the 1400s with St. Vincent Ferrer. The same situation where the whole world was ready to go. Mm-hmm. Everything was primed. But yeah. Through prayer and conversion, it was held off until this time. Certainly we could do it now. We have even more reason to do it now with all this horrible nuclear stuff coming through.
Well, there are lots of ways that somebody can imagine this war, and I've always told people when you roll the war dice, you are, in fact, rolling the dice, and it could turn into World War III at one extreme, couldn't it?
With a sneeze. It would take that much to turn it that way, because we're getting more and more countries involved, and as if bin Laden is traveling, as most people think he is, and not in Afghanistan... it's just going to spread, and even if he's dead, it's not going to matter. Because there's always going to be a bin Laden.
I suppose in this day and age something did change, 9/11. It permanently changed, and that is our view of, I guess, how secure we are at home. And I don't think anything will be quite the same. Everybody talks about getting back to normal. It's never going to be as defined. If prior to 9/11, the definition of normal was one thing. If you want to call it normal, you've got to redefine it now.
You do, and I don't know. Do you have trouble when you go to sleep now, wondering what the world's going to be like when you wake up?
I have had a lot of trouble sleeping since 9/11, period.
Yeah.
The first several weeks, I really lost so much sleep, Kathleen. I just didn't sleep at all. I was on here nightly talking about it, and it all sunk in, and I understood exactly where we were and are. And I see no deviation from that yet, and it looks like it could be headed to a really rough place.
Were you surprised? I mean, were you physically affected on 911 when you saw what happened? I mean, were you... Did your heart palpitate a little bit, even though you knew it was coming eventually?
I went into shock.
Yeah.
I actually went into shock, and hard shock for me lasted like 3 or 4 days of really hard shock. And before I could even begin thinking about other elements of what had happened, I could not get over what had happened. It was a state of shock, you know, and I'm sure it was evident on the air. We're here at the bottom of the hour, Kathleen, so hold on. Yeah, these are really strange times.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
All right, the following fast blasted to me by Mac in Portland, Oregon. It says, Art, I confirm the Fox News report. I work for Fox. The material may be in the U.S. for a dirty nuke, not on their website yet. Now, I've got about 10 similar reports. Obviously, the story has legs. Here's the thing. If the terrorists were able to get from South America or wherever plutonium into this country, then they wouldn't have to explode a nuclear bomb to cause a nuclear incident. All they would have to do is get the plutonium together and put it together with TNT or some other explosive, and you would scatter weapons-grade plutonium over a very large area, and it would have an effect just like a nuclear weapon. Now, I'll tell you, Kathleen, I almost cannot imagine the circumstances when we would use a nuclear weapon. However, if somebody were to explode conventional explosives and scatter plutonium over a wide area of a densely populated area, I can conceive of the United States using a nuclear weapon in retaliation itself. And if that scenario began to be true, then, you know, the balloon could easily, really easily go up if we used a nuke against Afghanistan. Hard to imagine unless something like that happened here and you can't rule it out, can you?
Well, no, I mean, it's like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We'll all be blind and toothless by the time this is over. Mm. I don't know that we will strike back with a nuke. That's debatable right now. I think it's something that a lot of people may want to do, but I think hopefully there are more cooler heads, because I'm not sure that we'd accomplish anything by starting a nuclear annihilation program, because it would become global very quickly. Ultimately, it will. But I'm not sure that that's where we're going yet. I hope not.
Well, I hope not, too. But
because you're looking at major cities, New York, Los Angeles.
I know.
And that's the devastation.
I know, but if they were to use something of that magnitude and poison even millions of people.
Right.
The political pressure to respond in kind might be unbearable.
And maybe that's planned. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to refrain from it. I think that certainly we didn't get Saddam Hussein, you know, in the early 90s, and we're paying for that now.
Mm-hmm.
They may feel that going after Iraq may be the answer.
So far, they're showing no signs. In fact, quite the opposite. They seem to be giving signals that we're not going to go into Iraq, which surprises me.
Well, I think they're trying to cool things down a little bit, because Hussein's obviously had some hand in this. Whether or not overtly he has helped the terrorists. And I think that they want to cool it down a little bit before it turns into a real hotbed, especially for Israel.
Speaking of Israel, you apparently have uncovered something involving Israel, the Temple Mount, and the whole end time thing.
Well, the excavation that's going on there is going to become very interesting and very significant in the near future, because false documents are going to be dug up from the Temple Mount that will change religion forever.
False documents.
False documents. These are documents that will just change Christianity as we know it and all religions, and will be shoved into that one world religion.
Do you know it in what way?
Well, I think we're going to see the denial of the divinity of Jesus as a big step.
Oh, that would throw a big cog in the wheel, all right.
It will, and it will also open the door for the Antichrist and the Antipope.
The denial of the divinity of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, if they were to dig that up and they were authenticated documents, boy, talk about axing Christianity.
Wouldn't that be a blow?
It would be... It's unimaginable. It's unimaginable. On what basis do you say this?
I have done a lot of research into this about the Knights Templar and their digging under the Temple Mount.
Yes.
And of course the Muslims are in there too, trying to, they're getting rid of all the Jewish artifacts, and anything of history that is true history is being destroyed. So that we're setting the stage not only for the end of Christianity, but the alien deception is part of the Temple Mount problem, in that we're going to see them taking an active role. We're probably even going to be shown holograms that will have, you know, been doctored to give us what they feel is history.
I was thinking that's what we should do to the Taliban. That we have, we're the ones with the good technology in that area.
Sure.
Why not use it on them?
Well, I that's a good question.
I mean, that's unimaginable that there would be some documents. Who would these documents, in your opinion, have been prepared by?
Probably it's going to be associated or attributed to people that worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they're always being accepted right now. We have a big Bible.
No. I'm saying who would actually falsify these documents. That's what I'm asking.
Well, I think you're going to see the Knights Templar, or maybe even some of the darker forces in the Vatican.
Oh, the Vatican. You know, I have been interviewing so many guests, and you're just one of them, Kathleen, who've been telling me that there is evil in the Vatican. Father Martin said it. Many other of my guests have said it. It's so hard to believe. It's so hard to believe. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, of all places, the Vatican.
But what better place to carry out a war? I mean, you always want to know what your enemy's doing.
Right.
And they're right in the thick of it. It's got the Pope surrounded. He's not doing that well. He's in, of course, danger from them and from other forces. It's the best place for them to be and to establish a one-world religion. The dark forces need that Rome seat to take over the world.
If there was a one-world religion, mm-hmm. Kathleen, what do you imagine it would be?
Hodgepodge, created by the Antichrist. It would be a little bit of this and a little bit of that, where we ultimately adore the Antichrist as God.
And so then, biblically, most would fall for it, right?
Well, sure. And now that the Bible's being changed significantly with the discovery of the latest Dead Sea Scrolls, we're getting part of that now. We're trying to get everybody moving towards the center, where Catholics are starting to look more like Protestants, and Protestants are accepting Catholics that way, and that the Jews are coming around, and they're just going to get everybody into one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
In one group. And unfortunately, the code backs that up.
What can you give me some idea of what the code says that does back that up?
Sure. Let me look here. We've had a lot of things as far as the Vatican. We've got Cardinal Martini, who was a Jesuit. It says when you run the Jesuit code, and Father Martin would probably be delighted that this information is out after he wrote the book, The Jesuits, that Martini would change Rome and ultimately control the world. The Jesuits would. And he, of course, is a Jesuit. So you're looking at the fact that the Jesuits are really adopted communistic principles. Not all Jesuits, but some of the Jesuits in power seem to have adopted Marxist tendencies. We see Jesuit priests in Central and South America carrying guns and shooting, which is against what the Pope wanted. He has tried to disband the Jesuits for this activity, but it's just they are in charge. They are working. At least Martini is working.
Of course, a lot of the Jesuits have turned up in pools of blood too.
I know, and they have suffered. You have very good Jesuits, and then you have this darker side. And I think that's true with anything.
I think the Sandinistas slaughtered a lot of them.
Oh yeah, hung them from trees.
Yep.
And just.
Yep.
Yes.
So, on the one hand, I understand their need.
Yeah.
But it's still.
But that's just an inkling of what's coming. I mean, they're going to control the world religion. It's just all going to go into one pot.
Along with a new world order?
Right. It's
inevitable. I suppose you really could not have a new world order, a real order, without having one economy and one religion. And then, of course, to follow and govern all that, one government, right?
Right. One leader.
I have always thought and said on the air that I think inevitably it is going to that. It's a matter of when, how soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suppose events could force it fairly quickly, or it could run its course and not even be in our lifetimes.
We could hope for that and pray for that.
In recent days, it doesn't seem like that's the likely course, does it?
No, not when we're going by leaps and bounds towards the New World Order.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come from security. We need security, so we're going to give away everything just to get it. We need peace. And it's going to be that horrific in this country that we're going to beg for the national ID card. We're going to beg for our freedom to be taken away.
Well, fear will do that, won't it?
Right. And fear hit us really hard between the eyes.
There's a lot of fear around
mm-hmm.
right now. The third secret of Fatima, I spoke both in public and private with Father Martin about it. We had many discussions about it. And then during a period that I was off the air, the Vatican released the third secret of Fatima. And I must tell you, I stood straight up. I read everything I could get my hands on about it. And when I was done, I didn't for one second believe they had released the entire third secret of Fatima. What about you?
I knew they didn't. I knew it was a lie. I had a Vatican intelligence officer contact me before it was released telling me what they were going to do.
Oh, you did?
I did. And even to the page count of how many pages they were going to release, and that it was an outright lie. I ran the Bible code on it, and it said that the Fatima third secret was a fake release by Rome to dupe the public. And
it,
I also...
It said that.
Yes. It said that. And even more shocking was Father Martin's code, which, are you ready for this? It says, Martin Malachi, priest, secret, cast out demons. It describes him there. That he was killed.
Well, I heard rumors that he was pushed.
Well, and I have uncovered some information that maybe he was working on an exorcism of a little girl and
really?
Took that little girl into his home, and that may have been part of the problem.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
None of that's made it to me.
That comes from a good friend of his.
I did hear rumors from people who knew him. Listen, the third secret, if we really knew it all and knew what was not not told to us in the supposed complete final release, ha, 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 what would be ahead?
Well, horrors beyond our worst imagining. Nuclear devastation. Billions of people being wiped out of this earth in a moment's notice.
Why would the Vatican, which presumably, I guess you should never presume, right, or assume, be interested in any reverence for religious institutions it could gather? I mean, you would think the wilder the third secret really was, the more the reason the Vatican would have to release it. Why would they lie about this? Why lie?
Because I think it spoils their plans. If we're lulled into complacency that nothing bad's going to happen, it's a lot easier for them to perpetrate the evil that they're going to perpetrate.
That's so hard to swallow. Even when Father Martin used to talk to me about the Vatican, I really, really, really had a hard time with
it. I know. And the Bible code on Father Martin said the priest that knew the third secret, Rome, the underworld, had him murdered to stop him talking. That's very specific. And if they're dirty enough to do that, they're dirty enough to lie about what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, sure they are. I don't know, almost don't know what to say to all this.
It's appalling, and it's disgusting that it's taking place, but unfortunately that is reality. And I think we're going to have to accept reality for what it is, like it or not, ready or not.
And the only thing that any individual can do is pray. That's it.
We can pray. We can, if you look at the codes and you see that the New World Order is behind this, all of these major changes, all of these diseases, the West Nile virus wasn't something that was just contracted and spread. It was created in a lab to kill us. The Bible code is so specific. It is telling us, and I think God is trying to give us a chance by telling us what's coming and who's behind it for us to stand up for ourselves, for our countries, and to regain our rights.
Kathleen, why would God put all of this in a code that it would take a computer to decipher? Many people ask that question.
It doesn't. You can do it by hand, and I know people that do use hand manipulation with it. They know how to do it, the skip codes and so forth.
Take a long time, though.
Yeah, it would, but they can do it. Some rabbis possess the whole Torah in their heads, and they can recite it.
Yeah, okay, but you're still not answering my question. My question really is, why would God put such a code in the Bible at all? Why
he wanted to give us a fair chance in these times to know what's coming and what isn't coming, and to tell us who's behind it, because he loves us. Why would he think that Art Bell would be in the high desert on radio with a back problem? Before the beginning of time, he wrote that. And it was there. And he thought of you. Why wouldn't he tell us?
Wait, whoa, slow up. This is just getting to me. You're telling me that in the Bible code, you found Art Bell in the desert, high
Didn't
desert.
Did Alan send that to you?
No.
I sent it to him, yes.
He probably decided not to forward it for perhaps even good reasons. Anyway, proceed.
But that's what it said, Art Bell.
It said Art Bell.
High desert.
High desert.
Radio and back injury. Now, if God cared enough, so much about you to mention that hidden in the Bible code when he dictated the Bible to Moses letter by letter, certainly he's going to tell us about the New World Order and about the diseases that are being fabricated to cull the population. He doesn't want this to happen.
Well, if he wrote about my back problem, then how about a little assistance?
I'm sure he'd be glad to help you. Have you asked him?
Good point. Very good point. How do you... there are people who charge, Kathleen, that the Bible code, that you can find, given enough time, any doggone thing you want in the Bible.
I don't think that's true from my experience. I have tried to run a lot of things that people claim that you could find in there. Not everybody comes up. Not everything does come up. I have not found that you can use Moby Dick either and find Art Bell in the high desert. I just think that from my experience, it is a good thing, and I really believe, after tons of research and talking with a lot of authorities,
yes,
it's the real deal.
Can you tell us what software you used to do this?
Bible Codes Plus 2000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bible Codes Plus 2000. So there's a piece of software, commercial or available free,
right,
or what?
Right. I think we have a link on our site to it, but I don't
really
get any profit from it at all. People ask me so much, we just finally put up the link.
And so you've tried to put other things in.
Sure.
Just as a test, right?
Sure. Just as a test, because I'm skeptical and I don't swallow things easily. I have to see it proven five ways before I'll believe it. And... even the Bible code says God encoded, God is truth. Moses hidden in the code. I mean, it's the God gave the code to Moses. You've heard about the book of Daniel or whatever that would be sealed until the end of time. I truly believe it's the Bible code.
All right. Well, you've totally freaked me out. Hold on. It's the top of the hour, and I mean totally freaked me out. My name popping out in the Bible code. Why should I be of any concern to the man? Oh, my gosh. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Kathleen Keating is here. Now to Kathleen Keating. Kathleen, you're back on the air.
Oh, thanks, Art. Hey, your code is now up on the page at KathleenKeating.com if you want to go take a look.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to do exactly that.
Okay, I think you can get to it from the front page, from what I've been told, the main page.
No, I didn't know that was coming.
Well, I mentioned it to Alan, and he said, go ahead and do it, and I thought that he had sent it to you, so I hope that didn't come as too big of a shock.
A pretty big one.
He's even in there.
He's in there?
Yeah.
Good.
So you have company.
I wonder how many people, I mean, what happens, Kathleen, if you run your friends, you know, run everybody you know and run their name, how many are in there?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, sometimes they come up and sometimes they don't. Sometimes women are up using their maiden names or they're in their husband's code. So it takes a lot of work to find them, but they're there.
I'm trying to go to your link, and the usual thing is happening. See, I can't get there.
Maybe, it's jammed.
Yeah, it's jammed. Maybe it's for my own good that I can't get there. That's all right.
Well, it's nothing scary. It just says just what I said to you.
Back trouble.
Back trouble. high desert radio, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let's see, where to go from here. You and I have not really talked about The Gates of Hell, your book, a lot.
Well, we sort of have in the past hour or so.
Maybe in the past hour, but that's all.
That's it, yeah.
And I guess if I were to say, describe to people what the Gates of Hell is all about, obviously it's available. Oh, you have some kind of special going on, too, don't you?
It's an Art Bell special, of course.
It's an Art Bell special, yeah.
If you call 1-866-308-6235, they've got both the Final Warning and the Gates of Hell at a remarkable price. I think they've reduced it since the price I told you in my fax to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I think it's $25. For both, or $13.95 for Gates or the Final Warning singularly.
Yeah, it says $13.95 each. So if they've done that, they really have reduced it.
They have, and it's just for you. And there will be people there from now until the trumpet sounds. God willing.
I'm going to give the number again here in a second. It's 1-866-308-6235, correct?
Correct, and they're great people, and they ship very quickly. I'm really happy to say that.
24 hours a day,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Means you can go out right now.
You bet.
Why did you pick the title, The Gates of Hell?
Because I think that we are getting our noses driven right into the gates. We are coming so close to annihilation, and so many souls are not prepared for what's coming. The gates are opening for millions of souls.
You're saying a lot of people are going to be passing to the other side.
Right.
And they're not necessarily going to be on the up escalator.
They're not ready. And, but we know in the end that the gates of hell will not prevail. But it's going to get ugly until we get to that point.
I have a feeling that you would not accept an anthrax vaccination. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't. Would you? I mean, there is 80% chance that you could have some serious problems if you take the vaccine.
Well, listening to Tommy Thompson tonight, he did say that in a million, some would die, one would die, some would have brain damage and other problems. But it's all a number. Life is and death, it's all a numbers game.
It is.
So I guess it would depend for me on how serious I thought the anthrax threat was.
Well, most of the anthrax problems can be curbed with antibiotics. We do have that Russian strain that only Cipro will touch, and then there's the other strain that you can die. Nothing will help you if you don't act quickly. So I think it's something. I'm not going to tell people not to take the vaccine, but I think that people should read about it and really make an informed decision.
Well, right now they can't make a decision. There's nobody giving that.
Oh, I know, because it's not approved. But we are seeing a lot of vaccines being developed, and I'm really skeptical about them because of the information I found out about various things like West Nile and Ebola, and the fact that they have been manufactured, and we know that someone's going to be reaping the benefits for these vaccines, for the diseases that they've created.
You believe West Nile and Ebola are both manufactured?
Well, the Bible code says it is. And I, after doing a lot of research and verifying it, I don't use just the code to check it out, but the code said the West Nile mosquito virus, science made this disease to instill fear.
Hmm.
That's pretty specific when you think about it.
Incredibly specific.
Yeah.
Do you know how your Bible code program works? I mean, do you know any of the skipping that it does or how it does what it does? Do you know much about it?
Well, you can set the skip code to how many letters you want. You can arrange it that way. You can have it search just the Torah. You can use the Hebrew keyboard to type in, for instance, Art Bell. To be accurate, I mean, you can adjust it. You can have it check horizontally, vertically, all directions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your name is found, and anybody else's or any other fact that you're trying to find is found vertically. And the codes around it, the words that are found around it, are usually in different, you know, either they co-across the name, they surround the name. And ultimately, if you work the code out, you get a lot of pictures. If you pull back and you can zoom out and take a look, it's really fascinating to see it develop.
The Antichrist.
Now,
you've had a lot to say on my program about the Antichrist.
Yes.
In fact, you really met him, you believe, at one point in your life.
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt. Where do we stand with the emergence of the Antichrist?
Well, since our last chat in March, a lot of people have been seeing him, and he has been showing up in their homes. People have been pulled from their beds at night. They yell for help with Jesus, and they get it. But, I mean, I think he's getting closer and closer. I don't think that the world is quite prepared for a man in long robes and perhaps wearing a turban right now.
No.
So I think the timing stinks for him right now. But he's getting stronger.
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
The whole turban thing, it just...
it's a blessing in disguise.
It wouldn't go over at all right now, would
no,
it?
No, it wouldn't. Now, if he showed up in an Armani suit, you know, and looking pretty good, I mean, it might be a different picture, but he's just not going to get away with it the way he could have a few months ago.
Now, I just finally reached your page.
Hooray.
And it says, Art Bell, radio host, back injury, author, High Desert.
So what do you think?
And it claims that this came from Genesis 24:65.
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy.
You know what's even creepier, Art? If you open the Bible, and I don't have one to read that passage to you, that applies to you in the Bible.
Well, how so?
Well, that the chapter, whatever you said.
Genesis 24:65, yeah.
That verse applies to you. That's, you are embedded in that particular verse. So God not only embedded your name in there, but he used a specific verse in which to embed it.
That really gives me the jeebies. It really gives me the jeebies, Kathleen.
Yeah, it's kind of shaky, isn't it? I mean, you find out that things are in there like that.
How about your name?
It comes up. I haven't worked with it much. There are a lot of Kathleen Keatings in the world, apparently. But, you know, it will tell me my eye color.
Oh, really?
My hair color. It's astounding, and you know...
What confidence level... I mean, you're basing an awful lot on the Bible code. What real confidence level do you have in it? Is it for you absolute, no question about it? Or do you wonder from time to time whether you're finding what you want to find? Or you know, what do you think?
Well, that's a very good question. Sometimes it feels like I'm being given a glimpse of the mind of God. And I'm in total awe of what I find. I use it only to confirm my other sources. So when someone tells me, like a visionary or a government person, about a specific thing, I don't necessarily believe them. I try to validate it. And if I
right.
find it in the Bible code, it can really shake you up to see that, yes, it's all there.
Well... In the United States alone, there are, what, upwards of 300 million people.
Right.
And worldwide, billions. So
right.
How many names really could be in the Bible code?
Tons.
Tons?
Absolutely tons.
Tons.
Tons. Again, not everybody's in there, but it's the people that are, I'm sure it's in the billions.
How many names have you run that aren't in there?
I'd say 10% so far.
So you're saying 90% are in there?
In the past year and a half that I've been dealing with it, yes. Maybe people have different results when they try it. But
that's a remarkable hit rate.
Yeah, it is. And maybe those other 10% are in there with an in-law or a spouse or something that I haven't been able to find.
But again, so I'm clear, you're saying you find 10% or you find 90%?
I find 90%.
90%.
90% of the things that I'm trying to find.
Uh-huh. That's almost like saying almost all knowledge is in there.
It is the book of knowledge, I believe, because it's incredible. Now, we each have five paths to our lives, and the Bible code accounts for that, because free will's a witch, you know? It's terrible. People make their minds up about different things. They get married, they get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be surprised, Art. I mean, you've got spouses in there, not in your COVID proof, say, because I didn't run that. That's personal to you. But people have that. Their first spouse, second spouse, whatever. Deaths are listed, death delayed. It's amazing.
Death delayed.
Right. People have had, in fact, a visionary had me run their name in the code. And they had specifically had attempts on their lives, life, and it was like eight different times, and death came up delayed, with delayed right across the word death. And it's just astounding.
You are now speaking to the people in New York City,
okay,
along with the rest of the known world here.
Mm-hmm.
But surely the people in New York City have been through a lot. What is ahead for the people in New York?
Much rougher times. And without the help and with prayer, it's going to get really rough. And I'm sad to say that. Father Martin talked about it for a long time. And I haven't been able to find anything that would change my mind that something horrible is going to keep happening to New York until it's finally decimated. I do believe, though, with all my heart and with all of my research, that we can stop it. We can pray. We can just stop it. If we would only do that.
Do you think that so much is available in the Bible code, meaning so many people's names and so much information, almost all information, perhaps if you knew how to look for it, would be in there, Book of Knowledge, that was the whole intent the whole time, that the Bible, as it's literally written, is one thing to be studied, revered, and prayed about, perhaps, but that the rest of all the knowledge would seem to be in that code in the Bible? I mean,
you know, it seems like it, Art, because you run diseases, and they're in there, and you run how they're made, and even the Latin term for the diseases, you know, variola for smallpox, and just the little nuances of not only individual lives, but of subject matter and events, that I think it is just such an epic book. It's just astounding. And I have tried to debunk it. I have tried my very best to debunk it. And I can't do it.
What would you advise the average person right now across America, aside from the appeal for prayer and having heard what you have to say about what's coming,
mm-hmm,
give them practical advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for tomorrow, I would keep your children home if you're in a major city. Don't let them go out trick-or-treating. That's the first thing I would do.
Yeah, I don't think I'd let my children out either.
I
heard some government somebody, oh, it was Tommy Thompson, as usual, say, you know, don't let this spoil your Halloween. You know, as a parent, no way.
No.
No way.
No.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, and I'm sure some parents will go within their own neighborhoods, you know, to people they know. But in terms of, I mean, when I was a kid, you took all the bags you could get,
mm-hmm,
and you went to as many homes as you could go to in several hours, and that amounted to many, many homes. And we came home with bags and bags and bags of candy and made ourselves sick. That was the way we used to do it. No more of that stuff, I guess, huh?
No, and even in the 60s, kids were coming home with LSD. But now, have a party for your kids at home. It's much safer. You know where they are. You know the environment. And if something happens, you're all together. And I think that's important. I think we need to remember that God is in control and he can help us. But we have to ask for it. You know, we have to become friends with God. In the old days, he would talk to people, just as we're talking now to one another. He would literally talk to them about their lives, what they thought, what they were going to do.
God has never talked to me like that.
He could.
I'm sure he could.
I'm sure he would.
The hailing frequencies are always open, but I've not had it yet. Have you ever had God talk directly to you?
I can't say that I have. I can say that I feel that he talks to me, that I feel guided with the Bible code. It's almost as though there's a partnership there, and he has it with everybody. But a lot of people do hear from him now, and it's going to become more prevalent. Of course, you're also going to have more prevalence with the dark side trying to communicate. But he's there. He's waiting for us to say, okay, we can't do this. We can't face nuclear disasters without you. just like we did when we all started using God in our vocabulary again after 9-1-1. And we did. I mean, it's remarkable. And then, of course, the fight comes with certain school districts that we can't have the Pledge of Allegiance, we can't have...
Yeah, I hear there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and so we're now going back, the pendulum is swinging back the other way. But when it swings that way, I'm afraid that we're opening the door for worse terrorist attacks than we've ever imagined.
Okay, hold it right there. What we're going to do when we get back is open the lines for Kathleen Keating. This is pretty heavy stuff, to be sure. We're talking about the Bible Code. We're talking about the terrorism that's going on and what's going to happen. And none of it sounds too good, with sort of a slim hope that if there are enough prayers, it might be averted or averted for a while. Otherwise, somebody out there is getting ready to rock. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. All right, we're about to go to the phones here, but here's some pretty rough stuff from Barbara in Virginia. Says, Art, asked that vile woman why a benevolent God would wait to help us until we prayed. Gazillions of fools like Kathleen Keating have been praying for centuries, and things just keep getting worse. She is full of, and then it cuts off because it only lets you say so much mercy.
You know what?
What?
Prayer saved 25,000 people on 9/11. God doesn't take life. He can't stand what is happening. But we do need to become acquainted with him, because we need to know, because of what's coming in the future, that prayer does work miracles.
So without prayer, 25,000 more would have died.
Well, they could have all gone, couldn't they?
Sure.
But some people were either told an inclination to be late for work, or something happened. God does that. He puts up obstacles to our destruction.
To us it appears random, though.
But it isn't. Nothing's random.
Nothing is random.
I mean, you could say that about the code, but look at your code.
Well,
does that look random to you?
No. It gives me the jeebies to look at it, so I'm not looking at it anymore.
Okay.
I just, you know, nothing is random. What about that old free will thing?
Free will does a lot, and with free will, a lot of people choose evil. And, you know...
Yeah, but in the larger numbers, that becomes random. In other words, it is man choosing evil, not God.
And we're going to reap the consequences.
So God is not orchestrating that? You put that one off to free will, right?
Well, I think that people are doing what they want to do to bring about a certain end.
Mm.
And those evil people are obviously on an agenda, and they're going to stay on that train until they get to the station that they believe is what they want.
All right. Well, then here come the phones. No idea what awaits. Let's do it. First time caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I have a question for Kathleen, and then I have something for you.
Okay.
My question to Kathleen is, which version of the Bible is she using to run the Bible Code? There are many different translations
out
there.
That is a very good question, Kathleen.
It uses a standard Torah in the Bible Code software itself. However, I have people that I'm in contact with that use... the Douay Rheims, they use Greek text, they use the Hebrew. It can be found in any Bible. But we use the most, the Bible that is least translated, the ones that are originally translated from the Latin Vulgate.
Does that help you?
Yes, it did. And
okay.
For you, Art.
Sure.
With your bumper music that you're playing as to what's going on in these times.
Yes.
A song I might suggest you listen to that really applies right now. The song by Queen called The Prophet's Song.
The Prophet's Song. All right, I'll look into it, sir. Thank you very much. The Prophet's Song. Yeah, somehow music has always had a very, very, very great deal of meaning for me, Kathleen. And so I make it apply to, I guess, what I'm thinking for any given moment. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, my name's Marlena.
Marlena, hi.
Yes, I'm calling from Toronto.
Okay.
And what I'm thinking, Kathleen and Art, the events that have been happening lately are putting fear into people, which the negative side, I believe, feeds on. So I think people are going back to basics, they're going back to praying, they're going back to God. And one of the things about your show, Art, it's really needed because you're getting the truth out to a lot of people where a lot of medias are not.
I would not claim what is on my show to be the unadulterated truth. No reflection on you at all, Kathleen. I mean on any night ever. I'm an alternative kind of source.
Where people can realize from how they feel in their heart about what the people are saying.
But it could be truth you're hearing or BS. Don't make any mistake about
that. This is quite true. People still have their free will to choose.
Yeah, that's right. I've got an open forum, and you just guaranteed to hear it all here. That's all.
That's right. I believe that also. One of the things I just tuned in about by accident about 4 weeks ago, and was then when you did the prayer for Rush.
Yes.
And how the graph came up on Princeton.
Yes.
And what I'm thinking is really we do need to be praying. But first of all, we need to be asking God for help, because even though our angels can know we need the help, they can't. A prerequisite, I believe, with them is they cannot help us till we actually ask for it, because therefore we then know we need the help.
My guess is Kathleen agrees with that.
And so I believe with your show, and we can get out there and be praying and change a lot of events that are happening. Maybe they'll still happen, but maybe not to the extreme that the negative side is wishing it to happen. As she said, 25,000 people were saved through prayer.
Yes.
Well, maybe we can save a lot of people on Earth, the whole Earth, if we all start praying, and you are around the world.
Kathleen?
So we can be doing the monkey effect.
Yeah, I understand. Kathleen?
Well, I agree with that, and I didn't always agree. I didn't think we needed to pray, but over the past 12 years, I've come to the conclusion that it's a very good idea, and it does work. You have a peace about it.
It does work. There is no question about it. I don't doubt it for one second. I know it to be true. I know it to be true. On the international line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Where are you, please?
Hi. I'm calling from La Paz, Mexico, and I'm Art.
Yes.
Yeah, La Paz, which is translated from the peace.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful to listen to your program, Kathleen. You have a lot of courage to say this on the air. And speaking about your name, Art, I think that God has a special mission on you. I think he wants you to tell the whole world, because there's a lot of people that listen to your program, and I have been listening to for you for a while, and you are listened to many places, not only in the United States. So if your money says, in God we trust, I think you should start trusting the Lord. And
All right. Well, I thank you.
Father Martin would agree that I think that you have a special mission.
I'm not a worthy messenger of God, to be sure, or even anybody else connected with him. I don't feel that way, so it gives me the heebie-jeebies. The whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
A very interesting subject. I was just wondering if on the news today with Fox, they came across with an article about the five Middle East countries that don't use a manifest on their airplanes, and therefore people coming into the country, can't even have their name. I was wondering if anything could be run through that Bible code in regards to that.
We probably could. I haven't had time to run it yet, but I would certainly look into it.
I would appreciate that one, because it seems odd that we allow these planes to come in without even the manifest copies that we can tell who's coming into the country.
I certainly agree with that, and it's hard to believe, because when you fly into the country, sir, it is our regulation, not that of foreign airlines, but our regulation, that you fill out a form. As you get mid-Pacific or mid-Atlantic, I've done it a million times, they give you a form about nationality and what you're bringing in and customs form and all the rest of it. You got to fill that out. So
exactly.
I can't believe that there would be any airline where they would be exempt of that.
Well, there are the five different countries, and one of them happens to be Saudi Arabia, where the terrorists came from.
I understand, but I guess I don't believe it, is what I'm saying. I've flown internationally so many times. Everybody fills out the forms. That's all there is to it. And so they know who you are, and you go through customs and immigration, and they know. Hopefully they know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Dan.
Yes, Dan.
yesterday you reported a bird kill in India.
Yes.
That was a third-order gleam effect.
A what?
A third-order gleam effect. Very near Kathleen Keating is a first-order gleam effect.
I'm not sure what all that means.
God says the effects will be like a neutron bomb.
By the way, people wanted to know where that was. People in Jatinga, that's Jatinga in Assam, Assam state, are the ones that have observed these hundreds of birds committing suicide. Kathleen, the story is kind of a weird one, and I don't know why I picked it up, but it's a wire service story. And hundreds of birds in India simply started committing suicide, going into a trance-like state and then diving straight into the ground. Kaboom.
Well, I don't know whether it's frequencies or vibrations or something they're picking up on, or it's a precursor. We know that small animals will run away and the birds will fly off and die as things get worse, and it's just telling us that something isn't right.
How do you discern with events on Earth, and there have been some incredible ones, what is a sign, a biblical sign of some kind? And how do you discern that from natural disasters and just the natural run of things that occur on Earth?
Well, we know natural disasters have grown exponentially, but we're also looking for specifics that have been outlined to the visionaries, that we will see small animals die, we will have earthquakes in very places and so forth, but it's going to become more intense. We know to look for that. We know that when the Pope flees Rome or is supposedly declared dead, that the warning is going to happen. It's all been laid out so that we're not going to be surprised.
Okay. First-time caller line, you are on the air with Kathleen Keating and Art Bell. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is John in Ventura, California.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Did you feel any little earthquake as far north as Ventura?
You know, believe it or not, I didn't feel anything.
Okay.
I know that there's been quite a few locally in Los Angeles the last couple of days. My dad actually told me about one that hit, I think it was over the weekend. The reason I'm calling, Art, and first of all, yes, you are a very special person, believe it or not, because you are being used in a mighty powerful way, and I believe that'll be
maybe
known to you before too long. I'm calling about the end time prophets that are written about in the Bible. There's two. I just so happen to know one, and he has prophesied about the other one being Dr. Stephen Hawking, whom will be healed before the world, and that'll be the testimony. This is very powerful knowledge you guys are talking about tonight, and I know that this gentleman, whose name is Joseph, can talk on this stuff, and I'd just like to be able to have him call in and talk to you sometime if possible.
Well, have him call in, or have me get some way, you know, get it to me in email, how to contact him privately, and I will do so. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was on. This is Nancy in Hawaii.
Yes.
And Art, I'd like to tell you why you like music. It's because they had an article in the paper this week that said, shows a place in your brain that it changes, and it's really good for you. And
I have no doubt about it.
And I really believe that the reason your name is in the Bible code is because you can change things with the meditation that we do, if you did one for world peace. And I wanted to tell you also that in the book Cure for All Cancers, there's a little simulator that you can build, and it kills anthrax, all kinds of bacteria. And I really feel that we create our own reality by the belief system we have. And if you grow up Catholic, your parents do, then that's the belief system you have. If you grow up, you know, Methodist or whatever.
You're talking right about the bioelectrifier?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
Well, it's worked for me. Anyway, I think...
If I had anthrax, I think I'd want antibiotics.
Well, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
That's
but,
true.
And I know it's worked for me. It's killed all kinds of bacteria for me, and colds and pneumonia and all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, you create your own reality. by the belief system you have. So I feel that if we don't start realizing that all religions on the planet teach love and forgiveness, and if we don't start walking our talk, like the Indians say, or practicing what we preach is forgiveness and love, we're never going to make it to the next level, like Dr. Kaku says. We need to start forgiving people and loving them. And,
well, okay,
and
having said that, dear lady, in the face of what just happened to America with the World Trade Centers coming down and the attack on the Pentagon, the anthrax, everything that's happening, what would you do? Would you be giving out forgiveness
and
love, or would you be going to war?
Like you on the Friday night, I would sit down at a conference table and talk to these people and find out what we have done to anger them so much and make them hate us and see if we can't change that. Killing them is not going to help.
All right. On that note, let me ask Kathleen about that. I suppose, biblically, turning the other cheek is the operational mode to be in, but I can't do that. And
I think we either stop the cancer or it'll kill us. You have to protect your life, too. You have to value your own life and the lives of other people. And if that means that you have to stand up and fight, then you have to stand up and fight.
So
God doesn't want this destruction, and if someone is... If someone came into your home and tried to kill you, you'd try to kill them before they got to you. Yeah, we should turn the other cheek in an ideal situation, but this is war, and things change in war.
Yeah, that's my take, too. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Kathleen Keating. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm calling to say that I think that this Bible cult she's talking about is a lot of bunk.
A lot of bunk.
Especially saying that your name...
In
there. If it's in there, someone else put it in there besides God. And I also think, thinking out of the box, which I've always been out of the box, that this attack on the World Trade Center was the inside job, and this scare tactic about the anthrax.
Well, what do you mean? Let's one thing at a time. Inside job by who? What do you mean?
By
the government, the
government,
airlines?
Our good government.
Our own government did this to us.
Yes, and the anthrax is just another scare, controlled chaos, so that they can use the atomic bomb or whatever kind of bomb, give them that excuse. And these 25,000 people that Kathleen is talking about that escaped the World Trade Center bombing,
yes,
they had some inside knowledge. It wasn't from God. It was from another source.
All right. Kathleen, you want to respond to that?
Well, the anthrax point is interesting. I don't know if it's an inside job or not. We certainly have the capability. I don't think, it was an inside job with the World Trade Center. I think that was from abroad.
Okay. Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, there's always a percentage of people in America that think it's some government cutout outside the government, but really pulling all the strings and that they're the ones that do this.
Well, unfortunately, though, it's coming down to that. There's a lot of that we're finding in research, and certainly the Bible Code indicates it. So it's an interesting thing now trying to sift out if this is one of those actions or if this is just something that happened to us.
But on balance, you do believe the 9/11 attacks were...
Taliban-related, completely.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Not a lot of time. Hello.
Hey, Art, Don, in Long Beach, California.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'd like you to try one thing with Kathleen on the line.
She's here listening to you. You
okay.
Try.
Type on your computer Q33... NY, and then convert it to wingdings.
Yeah, I know. It's all over the Internet, sir.
It is?
Oh, yeah. That's been all over the Internet so long now.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. People are... they're into all kinds of symbology, Kathleen. You're aware of that?
Well, I think we're all finding things, and certainly remarkable things are coming up.
But not everything... Not everything necessarily relates. I mean, they were using... hold on, Kathleen. We've got one more hour to go. People were coming up with this long before the World Trade Center attacks. This is just something that's been revived in the computer world for this particular situation. And it's going around the Internet like a virus. I'm Art Bell. Kathleen Keating is my guest, and we'll be back with your calls. Kathleen, I wonder if you can answer this. When some people listen to you, every word you say resonates with them. With other people, when they listen to you, they get really, really angry.
You know, I don't know what that is, but it happens a lot, so I guess I'm just gotten used to it.
In other words, those who don't want to accept the message, they don't just reject it. They reject it with lots of prejudice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can feel it sometimes, but that's okay. That's no big deal. I can understand that.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating and Art Bell. Hello.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Kathleen. How
Good
are
morning.
You? Good morning. My name's Father Frank. I'm a priest stationed in northeastern Nebraska. I usually listen on 1110 KFAB from Omaha.
Right.
Art, I'm glad your back is under control.
Thank you.
An answer to many prayers, I'm sure. Two things. Kathleen, I was wondering, I've also made something of a study of Catholic prophecy and mystics over the centuries, and also of the early fathers. And you're basically presenting their scenario. But there's also this period of peace, and I wondered if you had come across that promised at Fatima and also in some of the other prophecies that comes after the great king or the great monarch, after these tumultuous times, right?
Right.
Before the Antichrist.
I believe that there's... we're going to have a brief period of peace, but the lasting peace, the 1500 years of the reign of peace, will come after the great the warning and the great chastisement. And yes, there will be 1500 years of absolute bliss.
I see. So, and that's, but you think that's after the Antichrist comes?
I think there will be a period of peace before then. If we could consecrate Russia
mm-hmm.
to Our Lady, I think that the whole world would find that peace. But I think it's hinging on that, Father.
I agree with you. I think that's no doubt part of why the Blessed Virgin appeared there. Also, I was wondering, since I'm in Nebraska, if it's possible to communicate with you, maybe via Art to begin with, so you can verify who I am and such.
Well, you can email me, and we can go from there. Kathleen@KathleenKeating.com, and I'd be glad to get in touch with you.
Great, I will do that.
Thanks,
right.
Father.
Thanks, Art. Thanks,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Father. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Yes, I was just wanting to ask Kathleen about, she believes that she saw the Antichrist and knows who he is. Is this right?
Yes, that's true.
So he come to you and saw you. Why would he come to you, do you think?
I had interviewed his people about what he was doing, and because I was writing a book at that time about him, he appeared in my backyard. I'm not the only person that's happened to. Other writers, especially in England, have seen him in the same light. So,
right. And you do believe that the way is being paved for his appearance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think all of these things that we're seeing are the birth pangs before he shows up on the scene.
Right. Well, I am myself a Satanist, and with many others, and the way is being paved, and... it's not long coming. But, I mean, if...
You are a Satanist.
Yes.
You worship Satan.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's freedom of religion, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Are you not with concern at all for the consequences?
No. No. Not at all. Not at all.
What is it that you think awaits you after physical...
Well, whatever it is, then that's whatever it is. But
I know. I'm just asking a general question. I mean, you ask a Christian what awaits.
Mm-hmm.
Most Christians can give you some description of what they think awaits on the other side. Since you're a Satanist, I thought I would ask you what you think awaits on the other side.
Well, it'll be paradise in their own way, which we all know. And it's been shown to us here, and we'll see it there as well. There's many different ways of paradise.
You know, Art, I had a visionary contact me about the paradise that some of the terrorists saw. And that person was given a vision of the so-called virgins that they would see.
Ah, the virgins.
And they were hideous. It was just appalling. The person just begged not to see anymore the vision she was given.
Hideous virgins?
Yes. Horrible-looking things. More like beasts than...
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Hello, Art. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'm just curious about something. Art's been put in a really awkward position, I would think, with this group consciousness stuff. It's actually a really major thing. And I was just wondering if you had an opportunity to run a Bible code with regards to the group consciousness, and if Art does actually have a part to play in that, and if he does, maybe you could encourage him to go through with it and not allow the fear of
unintended consequences.
That's right.
Well, I'd be happy to run that, and if I get anything, I'd be happy to post it on the website. I do that when people have specific requests. And as far as Art, I'm sure that there's more in his code than he really wants to know. But, you know, it would take more research. But I'm sure that his future is in there as well.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, because it is actually, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for Art, but it's also a very scary one, I would think.
Well, he's in a pivotal position, and I think Art would agree with you.
Yes, yes, on the horns of a dilemma, to be sure. Okay, well, we'll find out, I guess. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
This is Henry listening to Tucson 780 KNST.
Yes, sir.
I have two questions for Kathleen. Number one, I was curious if she believes in predestination.
Yes, to a certain degree. I think certain people are born to do certain things, and they fulfill that in their lives.
Okay. With what everything that's written in the Bible code and everything, wouldn't predestination be in all things?
We have predestination to a point, but there is also free will. I think people like Art Bell were meant to be on radio. It was that intent that he would be on radio in these particular times, instead of in the 40s or the 30s. He was born for this time.
Gotcha.
And I think that a lot of people have that role, like President Kennedy was born to be president at a specific time.
Okay, but you say to a point, though.
Well, because of free will. You know, we can always, you know, Art could say, well, I never did want to do radio and never have gotten into it. He never would have been interested.
Yeah. Okay, and then my second question, without naming names and what title or what, I guess it would be the best way, what title would you get, do you have for this Antichrist?
What title, you mean as...
Yeah, will he have a title? Will he be a world leader? Will we call him president?
World teacher.
World teacher.
Yeah. I think we'll probably call him the man.
The man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although he will claim he's the God, but he'll be the big guy.
Okay. First time caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating and Art Bell. Hi.
Hi there. My name is Eamon.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from Hornby Island out on the west coast here, Canada.
Yes, indeed.
Kathleen, I'd like to ask you a question. It comes in two parts. First, have you, in your understanding of the Bible code and your studies and research, heard anything of a blue star prophecy? And also the second part of that question would be a vision of about a boat being outside the 200-mile limit with a nuclear weapon on it, and then a wall of water coming towards the coast.
Right.
The reason I'm asking is because this vision has come forward, and it's in association with this. I'm just wondering if you know anything about that. And I unfortunately can't, you know, I'm between different radio stations here, so I'm offline, so I won't be able to hear your response, unfortunately, until later on in the evening.
All right.
Thank you very much for your efforts, and I really appreciate everything you're doing, Art.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Kathleen, do you know anything about all that?
I have heard of the Blue Star prophecy, and I'm looking into it, and I've also heard about the ship off the coast with the nukes and the tidal wave that will follow it. It's a series of prophecies that I believe will come to fruition.
Gosh, Kathleen, you know, the Cold War ended and things were humming along. The economy was going so well. Everything seemed hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. People were damn near bored. And then all of this has to happen. I mean, all of a sudden the world is back in dire, critical condition. We're on the verge of a world war.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Bible prophecy coming true in front of our eyes, and just out of the blue it came when things were, when you least expected, huh?
Well, I guess if they'd released the third secret of Fatima in 1960 the way they were supposed to, we wouldn't be here.
Wouldn't be here?
Well, we wouldn't be in this position. We'd be in a lot better position.
We might not be surprised, huh?
Right.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. It's a pleasure to bring in some logic and reason, and if I may say it, atheism to the picture. First of all, that Satanist who was on three calls before is just as illogical and irrational as Kathleen Keating is. I'm not a Satanist. I'm an atheist, and say Kathleen Keating's position in Christianity.
Well, hold on. Isn't atheism itself a religion? Sure it is.
Absolutely not.
Why is it not as illogical to think there is no God and no devil and no nothing as it is to think there is?
But that's the scientific method. Atheism is without a belief. It's atheism means without, the lack of a belief
in God. A lack of a belief. That means you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the devil, right?
That's correct.
That's absolutely every bit as illogical as belief.
Well, let me get to what I wanted to say. Muhammad Atta and the people who flew the planes into the World Trade Centers, because of religion, in this case Islamic fundamentalist religion, and their irrational beliefs in an afterlife, their Islamic Valhalla, Islamic heaven,
yes,
with 72 virgins, as Howard Bloom pointed out in
yes
your show not too long ago.
Yes, yes.
Religion is the core cause of this whole thing to begin with. If they didn't have their so-called irrational beliefs in an afterlife with virgins,
all right,
they
wouldn't Bill have... All right,
they
Bill. All right, Bill, hold on. I will accept that from you. I will accept that and I even agree that in a lot of ways, human behavior right now, as most wars, appear to be religiously based, and this one doesn't seem any different to me. Kathleen?
I think the worst war that we're facing is the atheistic war coming out of Russia. It's not over. It's not dead. They're not dead, and they're going to prove that... they're going to kill a lot of people in the name of atheism. Religion or atheism, whatever you want to call it, hatred is alive and well.
Well, it seems to me atheism is in itself a religion.
It is.
It's such a firm, fixed belief. And they're quick to say, oh, you don't believe in anything.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Sure. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, this is Ron from Philadelphia. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
I understand you use visionaries as part of your research.
I use them with government sources.
Okay, I was wondering if you've heard of a visionary who was named Veronica Lukin.
Yes.
Who on September 11th, 1990, saw what happened September 11th, 2001.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you...
Oh.
She was given a vision that day, and other visionaries were also given the same sort of vision on September 11th in 1990, 1991.
Right. I used to listen to her on the radio, and when I heard what happened at the World Trade Center, the first thing that came to my mind is, it's beginning.
Veronica mentioned the World Trade Center and other things in New York, and she saw the destruction, the total destruction of New York in her visions.
Yes, she did.
And I really think that her prophecies will come to fruition. A lot of people don't believe them, but I think they got a wake-up call in September.
Definitely. Thank
All right.
you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Dieter from Salt Lake City.
Yes, sir.
Kathleen, I love you and I both hate you. Just because, you know, some of the stuff is kind of outlandish at first thought, but...
It is, isn't it?
As you kind of digest it down, you know, it kind of makes sense. In the final warning, I actually have a funny story about how I ran about your book. None of the bookstores in Salt Lake had your book. And when I finally tracked one down... I had gotten my copy, ran to the car, and I don't know what happened between it, lost my book. So I had to special order my book, and even when that book got sent, it got mailed to a different location. So when I finally got your book, I went through it and was really puzzled. I mean, most of it's kind of, I thought, Well, science fiction, maybe. I don't think so. But you did allude to a big part in there that China would be a big player in what world events would happen with their support right now, supposedly, of our position on this war on terrorism. What do you think the Chinese are going to do?
I think they are going to attack the United States ultimately and invade it.
Right.
And I have no doubts about that. And that comes not only from visionaries, but from government sources.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing about it.
And is there, would there be any, I mean, does the Al-Qaeda network have anything to do with this?
I think it's all kind of interwoven. I think that they started it, but I think that they just opened the door for the bigger players to come in.
Yeah, and I guess there was a report that the Chinese had paid a great sum of money to the Taliban for the cruise missile technology of unexploded bombs that had...
Sure. I think what we're going to be is disabled by the Al-Qaeda network and just make it easier for China and Russia to attack.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, sir. And on the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
Okay, sir.
My name's Glenn, and this is my first time calling. I'm calling from St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to ask Kathleen a question about, she's talking about the Bible codes and stuff and how it pulls up names.
Yes.
And I was wondering if this had something to do with the Book of Life.
I think it does. I've heard a lot of people say that, and I'm beginning to think so.
Because you were also talking about people without a soul or without names in there.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard that there was only so many souls out there, and then once all the souls were gone, you know, people wouldn't have souls at all. I wonder if that was the reason why some of these names weren't in the book, in the Bible.
Well, we know that there are a lot of souls that haven't been born yet for a lot of reasons. I mean, certainly war kills a lot of people that would have been fathers and mothers and so forth. So there are a lot of souls, but I do think that God created... A certain number at the beginning of time.
A finite number?
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie called The Seventh Sign. I bet you saw that.
Parts of it, yeah.
Parts of it?
Yeah.
You didn't sit down and watch the whole thing, huh?
I wish I could.
That was the premise of that movie, that there were a finite number of souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you didn't see the end of that movie?
No, unfortunately. I'm going to have to run it.
Oh, well, then I guess I won't give it away to you because
okay.
It's awfully, awfully good. But it dealt with the possibility, suffice it to say, that for one reason or another, we start actually running out of new souls to incarnate in born babies.
That must mean we're running out of time.
Well, in the movie, it meant exactly that, actually. All right, listen, Kathleen, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. When we get back, we'll give you that book offer deal again for Kathleen Keating, who's got a brand new book called The Gates of Hell. The Gates of Hell seems like they're wide open right now, doesn't it? Once again, Kathleen Keating and your calls. So, Kathleen, you ready?
Yeah, I am. Art, if I may, that was an 866 number.
866.
Instead of 888, it's 86630.
Is that what I said? Did
That's
I say
okay.
888? It is 866. I'm sorry. It looks
oh,
like,
no problem.
Looks like the top of the 6 comes down on top of the middle of the 6, makes it look like 888. So it's 866-308. 6235, that is a 6, right?
Right. Thank you.
I wonder who's doing this. Really?
Strange, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. Thank you for the correction. First
time
caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Yes, this is Casey calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Casey.
I have a question for Kathleen. How important does abortion factor into the equation in terms of America being spared? And if abortion is not banned, what chance do we have of being spared, even if a lot of people continue to pray for an end to abortion?
the Bible code is pretty clear about that. It says, it's found in Exodus 20, abortion USA will be the undoing, bringing about the wrath of God. Pretty self-explanatory.
Okay. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating.
Yes, James Banford, who's the top expert on the National Security Agency, has been appearing in the last few weeks concerning September 11th about his latest book, Body of Secrets, Body of Secrets. And he's when they discuss this book, the media studiously avoids the most shocking and really outrageous parts in the book, which are drawn from released Pentagon documents and Freedom of Information Act suits that show that in the early 60s, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, from the chairman through the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the American military and the Undersecretary of Defense, had actual plans to perpetrate terrorist bombings against Americans from Miami to Washington, other plans to bomb a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Harbor that the United States military base occupies Cuba, and use this as a phony pretext to frame up Cuba, as a pretext to invade Cuba. It was only called off by McNamara because they thought they'd be caught.
Well, are you suggesting that all of this was framed up and done, that that this is actually done by our own government? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying this demonstrates they don't have the moral compunction, but not organized.
Sir, I'm asking if that's what you think happened here.
No, not organized, but allowed to happen. Just do nothing. Know that it's going to happen and allow it to happen. Michael Rupert, who was with intelligence in the L.A. Police Department, I heard him on another program say that all the specific warnings, not just the general warnings, were there from all international sources about the place and the time, and that this was really done. The only people that benefit from this are the war hawks and the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, who get billions more with their bloated budget,
right,
and police state agencies who get more power.
Right, in every single conflict, we hear this again and again and again and again. Kathleen, I've already asked you, and you said, no, you think this is foreign.
I do, but let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If I knew about this last spring, and other people knew about this, don't you think the government knew about it?
I think the government gets warnings about stuff all the time. Now, does that translate to they absolutely believed it really for 100% certain would happen, could have stopped it, and just let it happen for some reason like the one that man just outlined?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they've had some specific information from Rockman, who was in jail. A guy next to him was hearing what was going on, and he reported it to the FBI.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, I don't know. We've got to put the pieces together, and we've got to get a grip before it's too late.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Hi there, Art.
Hello.
All right. My name's Simpson. I'm listening to WJBO in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
7:50 a.m.
Right.
Enjoy the program.
Thank you.
And I have a question for Kathleen. Let me just say this right quick. You're in the Bible here. You've been discovered in the code. You were Traxel in the land of Atlantis there. You're just all over the place, aren't you?
Gosh, I don't know.
Art Bell.
You're talking about me?
Yeah, you know.
Oh.
Asgard backwards is Traxel. Goldberg gave you that name. You know?
Yeah, I'm not ready to deal with this, sir. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Looking at the website, your site, Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
Now, the information that you released on 9701 or during the Taliban search there.
Sure.
Right? Okay, there's violence and persecution and nukes and, you know, things of that nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you came back 4 days later and you did the same search, right?
I enhanced the search and
okay,
and
that's
out
what I,
different
yes,
words.
Because the only thing it is that changed from the 9701 search that was did initially was that in the 9/11 search, Trade Center was added.
It wasn't added, it was found.
Well, not added.
Right,
you understand?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, how accurate are these just keywords that you're just typing into random pages?
Oh, no, you don't. You type in the word, like Taliban, but you run additional words, and it runs it itself. These words come up from the Bible, from the program. It's not what words I'm putting in there. They're
right,
already
right,
there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
the only word
I type in
is Taliban.
Yeah, look into the Bible code, sir. It's really fascinating. We'll do more shows on the Bible code. We've had debates on it here on the air. Now, I have no way of confirming this, except by asking my audience. John in Dixon, Illinois says, Fox News Bulletin. new information from the government that we have not seen such a threat since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, I have no idea if this is a real report or whether John made it up, but if it's true, then anybody who saw 17 Days knows how close we came to a nuclear end with the Cuban Missile Crisis. So if this report is real, then it's real serious. Real serious indeed. More serious than we even know. And that's usually the case. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating.
Yes, good morning. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Yes, I believe the stage is being set here. I just heard that they were issuing the smart cards, and this just brings me back to what I've been told and brought up in believing. And it just was, I was wondering if you had any reference to the receiving the mark of the beast and how that was playing into how the stage was being set as far as them issuing that to the military and then...
Well, that's not really the mark yet. It's a precursor. The actual mark will come about because we will need it to buy food and to have jobs. That will be an actual chip placed in our hands or the top of our forehead.
You've researched that in the Bible?
Well, I've done a lot of research with the Bible and with government sources and visionaries that all seem to say the same thing, even though they never talk to one another.
What about the number of the beast? It says to calculate the number. Has that been reviewed or any reference of that in the Bible code?
It has, and I've run the code on the Antichrist. That is on my website, and another code is in the gates of hell for you to see.
Oh, okay, because the reference that I was told, I don't mean to bring any disrespect, but I was told that it had the title of the papacy.
You will see the antipope rising out of the Vatican,
okay.
And he will be the cohort, but the actual antichrist is not in the Vatican.
Okay, then I guess that was just a reference to the beast or the power of the beast.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Dan in Denver, you're right, I'm a goof. It was 13 days, not 17 days, 13 days of the Cuban Missile Crisis that I just happened to recently see. 17 stuck in my head. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Okay. I want to know, how did they come up with this computer program that does this deciphering of the word of the Bible?
That's a good question. They had mathematicians have been working on it for a long time in Israel and at MIT and around the world. And, of course, they took the Bible letter by letter and put it into the Bible and used mathematical equations or skip codes in order to see if the code actually existed. And they've proved it with astounding results. Atheists have become devout Jews and believing in God because of the code.
The reason I say that is because during the late 30s, they had something very similar in Poland that would take a system of numbers and analyze it, okay? They didn't use English language, obviously, but that was the basis of Germany's secret code, how they passed messages. Mathematically, if you take any random set of numbers and that, you can come up with anything you want eventually.
All right, sir, thank you very much for the call. And I'm going to add to what you said in a way. Mike in Minneapolis says, Art, please ask Kathleen about the so-called negative codes found in Bible code that say things like, God is not real. Jesus is Satan.
Right.
All these codes do appear as well. How does she explain that?
I haven't had them pull up. I know that some people claim that they've pulled up, but in the software I'm using, what I get is God is truth, and I don't get those words that other people say they do. And none of the other people that run it concurrently with me have found that either. I research it, but I also go to other people who do it at the same time.
All right, here's somebody else, by the way, Kathleen. Charles in Canyon Country, California, says, I've heard also on Fox several times now, worst threat since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Well,
yeah.
The Cuban Missile Crisis took us to the brink of nuclear holocaust. And the only thing I can think in my mind is that somebody in our government knows a nuclear device or a radiation device is in the country or about to be in the country, something on that scale, or they would not reference it to the severity of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
No, because we were on the brink of annihilation, and I'm really afraid that the information that I've gotten from the visionaries and the government sources is accurate, that I'm really concerned about any nuclear strike. I really think that we are on the brink again. And this time, it's going to be for keeps.
Yeah, with that, I agree. I sure do agree. We're on the brink. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning,
Kathleen. My name is Will. I'm calling from North Hollywood.
Yes, Will.
At the beginning of the program, Kathleen, you gave very specific details about September 11th that you got through the Bible code.
Mm-hmm.
But when Art asked you, you know, what was coming next, you seemed to kind of dance around giving a specific answer.
Well, I don't like to scare people unnecessarily. I don't have...
Yeah, but this isn't Tommy Thompson land either.
No,
If you want to go ahead and tell them what you've got, tell them.
I don't have the exact specifics of a city or what will exactly happen. I do have a general idea that it involves a nuclear device, and it could be New York City. But it could be any city, the way these people play the game.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you. Take care. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating.
Good morning. I'd like to
turn your radio off, please.
Yes, I'd like to play a little game of ifs here. If the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles that were raising the dead and what have you had this Bible code information, number one, did they say it was going to be hidden from the wise and prudent but delivered to little children? And number two is, would these disciples and apostles that were raising the dead, would they be selling the information in books? And I'll turn off to get the answer. Thank you very much.
All right. Kathleen?
The apostles knew that the book of Daniel, that he received the information for the end times, was sealed until the end times. They asked often of Jesus whether they were in the end times, and he told them that no, that they would know that there were certain signs. As surely as you look into the sky and see the change of the seasons or the sun. As far as selling a book, I have to get the message out there the best way I can, and I don't know any other better way. I can't afford to give it away. I wish I could.
If you had the money, you would do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Kathleen Keating. Hello.
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 Hi there. This is Joe calling you from East LA, KFI.
Yes, Joe.
How you doing? I have a whole series of questions. Okay, I want to know where the Antichrist, who is he, where is he, and where his seat of power is going to be.
Okay, well, she named the Antichrist on her website.
Gog and Magog are going to take down the U.S., but I want to know about that. I want to know about the future of L.A., and I also want to know that the Freemasons, and along with the Templars, have always tried to defile Jesus' divinity, and it goes back maybe 1,000 years or so. I want to know more about how they're going to, defy Jesus' divinity, how they're going to, manipulate it or destroy it.
Kathleen, what you want to cherry-pick some from that? We don't have time here.
Okay, the denial of the divinity of Jesus will come out of those documents from the Temple Mount, the fake documents that will be... released to the world saying that Jesus was merely a prophet, he was not God. And you will hear that again from the Antichrist. And we're going to see major changes in religions that will make that easier for them to do.
Okay. Your books, two books, The Gates of Hell,
mm-hmm.
new book, and The Final Warning, been out there for a while, but it's quite a read. And both these books are available right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But a special Art Bell, some sort of Art Bell special that makes them very, very inexpensive compared to normal. If you call 1-866-308-6235. This time I know I'm getting it right. That's 866-308-6235. And Kathleen, we're short on time, not a whole lot of time left. Anything else you want to really get in that would be important to get in tonight before we close?
Sure. We're at a very serious point in our lives, And whether we have a future or not, and what kind of future we're going to have, depends on how close we are to God. And we need to pray. We need to pray to stop what is about to happen in this country. And we need to band together, and we need to hold our officials accountable for not telling us or for not acting on certain things, and just pray to God that we're spared and that families will not be broken up.
Yeah, that's all good stuff to pray for, and you're saying that only prayer will prevent or at least cut back on the number who otherwise will be hurt or killed.
Amazing things can happen when you pray.
Mm-hmm. You're working on one more book, aren't you?
Torn Sky. It's a faction book in the vein of Father Martin, telling the truth without getting myself killed.
That's always good.
I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, Torn Sky, you know, when you say that, it reminds me of many things that Father Martin said. Many things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kathleen, as always, it's been great having you here. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Art. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if anything new and spectacular comes up,
I'll let you know.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care. God bless.
Good night. From the high desert. Ta-ta.